Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. When Camilla turned 75, another item on the royal calendar was overshadowed by Tom Bower's book. But for the birthday, the royal PR machine was up and at it again to promote feel-good stories. From the Mirror, royal biographer Ingrid Seward insists the Duchess is a reluctant star. Never personally ambitious or a lover of the limelight, she'd probably like to retire, she laughs. I'm sure she's full of trepidation. She was not born at Windsor. She does not like travelling, flying, and she is 75. I'm sure she would like a quieter life. But she is a young 75 at heart, and she is going to do the job her way. She has to live in the shadow of Diana's ghost, and to some extent she will always be the woman who took her place. But it is not the top of the list anymore. We are being allowed to see her as something other than that now. She is not someone who would push herself in there, but she has slowly been moved to the forefront. Now is the time to step up to the plate, and she will do the job in her own special style. She adds, she is entertaining and fun. She has a twinkle like the Queen Mother had. She will do a good job. On the other hand, Newsweek is of the opinion that Camilla sums up everything that's wrong with the royal family. The Newsweek piece took a look at how Camilla has cozied up to the press, writing, the most telling line in a recent forelock tugging Times article about Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, by the paper's royal commentator Valentine Lowe was this. She went out of her way to make friends with the press, focusing particular attention on the Daily Mail, the paper that has always been most strident in its criticism of Camilla. Last weekend, that coziness with the Mail group bore its latest fruit as the Mail on Sunday previewed an ITV documentary on Camilla, guest editing Country Life with a gushing piece. Amid a deluge of trivia about dogs, gnomes, teddy bears, and sneaky ciggies with Jeremy Clarkson, readers were assured that the image of Camilla with a twinkle in her eye is what many at the palace, and no doubt the Queen herself, would wish the public to see. And that's the point. The transition of Camilla, who turns 75 on Sunday, from hated mistress to beloved establishment figure, has all been about an image that royals wish the public to see. After a recent spate of financial scandals for Prince Charles, the reasons for pushing Camilla to the fore are transparent. We're meant to be reassured by her stolid presence and to admire the apparent transformation of the laziest woman in England, as a former advisor once dubbed her, into one of the hardest working royals. But beyond those royal engagements, required to give an impression of purpose and the endless courting of the press, what's really changed about Camilla? Nothing. She remains a woman of enormous wealth who likes dogs, hunting, and a life of grandeur. What we're witnessing now is the latest stage of something that started a year before the death of Princess Diana, when Prince Charles hired the PR man Mark Bolland and Operation PB, the plan to rehabilitate Camilla's public image, began. I don't particularly blame Camilla herself, to borrow the immortal words of Mariah Carey. I don't know her. But what I do know is that her status as one of the good ones is a triumph of marketing which doesn't stand up to any kind of scrutiny. The Washington Post feels it's not too late for Princess Diana to save Britain's monarchy. This follows the release of an HBO documentary called The Princess. The Post writes, Prince Charles must feel that Diana has once more risen from the grave to haunt him. Even as the hour draws nigh of his own ascent to the throne, he faces a Groundhog Day nightmare in which each time he begins to suppose that the memory is fading of his lost princess's 1997 death in Paris, back she comes, forever preserved as a 36-year-old beauty. After viewing the documentary, my wife also opined that if Diana was still here, even as an ex, the prince could never have gotten away with marrying his longtime lover, Camilla Parker Bowles, nor of proposing to make her Britain's queen, or queen consort anyway, as is the Buckingham Palace plan. There is a cringe-making moment in The Princess during a sequence of archival film from the 1981 Diana Charles wedding, when a gushing TV commentator highlights Colonel Andrew Parker Bowles, one of the household cavalry officers escorting the marital coach procession. The royal couple have stayed with him and his wife Camilla in Wiltshire, so they're among friends. Well, rather more than that, as we now know. As for Camilla, a jolly, horsey country woman, are they mass-produced in some upper-middle-class factory in the English Shires? It is hard to adjust to the idea of abasing ourselves before her, as we shall soon be asked to do. A massive publicity campaign to promote her is underway, with appearances on magazine covers and an interview in Vogue. Polls show that most British people want his elder son, Prince William, to assume the throne. Charles is too old to provide the new scattering of stardust the monarchy needs. He carries too much baggage, and his judgment is chronically poor. He is quirky, fussy, a spoiled old man who apparently takes his own towels and toilet paper to every private home in which he stays. When he blunders, some of us ask a simple question. Would the Queen have done it? The invariable answer, whether when he accepts cash for his pet causes from dodgy people or shields unworthy associates, is no. If he possessed an ounce of self-knowledge, he would renounce the throne in favor of his son and retire to his beloved garden at Highgrove House, where he could live happily with Camilla ever after. None of us delude ourselves that Prince William offers the answer to all the monarchy's looming challenges. It merely seems more plausible that he, rather than his dad, can give it a future. His wife, Kate, Duchess of Cambridge, has rarely put a foot wrong nor opened her mouth at the wrong moment. Grounded in a sensible, stable, middle-class family such as Diana lacked, she is giving a master class in how to make everybody she meets feel brighter and happier. William and Kate could offer the monarchy its best chance of prospering after the Queen's passing. The foremost lesson of Diana's life, vividly recalled in The Princess, is that she had a genius for relating to ordinary people in a way that no other member of Britain's modern royal family has ever possessed. Today's Palace Intrigue is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Whenever you're connected to an unencrypted internet network on your phone, computer, tablet, TV, etc., you're sending countless pieces of information out into the digital world that can be seen and intercepted by many different parties before they get to their intended destinations. But a VPN, or virtual private network, creates a secure tunnel between your device and the internet. That's why I recommend ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN allows you to reroute your connection to a server in a country of your choice, making geo-restrictions a thing of the past. This comes in handy when you're writing a royal family podcast script and the story you want to read is behind a geofence. One click, and now you can pretend to be in London. Fire up the app and connect with just one click. Go to expressvpn.com/palace. The link is in the show notes, and find out how you can get an additional 3 months of ExpressVPN for free through our special offer when you sign up for a one-year package. ExpressVPN.com/palace. Thanks to ExpressVPN.com/palace for sponsoring today's Palace Intrigue, and click on the show notes for that offer. Congratulations to Her Majesty for making Vogue's leading ladies, celebrating the most influential women of the year. And People shares if Hugh Grant is slated to portray Prince Andrew in a new film. The actor doesn't know about it. According to Deadline, screenwriter Peter Moffat is turning Prince Andrew's sit-down with BBC Newsnight anchor Emily Maitlis into a movie titled Scoop. The film will follow how the BBC's Newsnight team got the scoop, then the actual filming of it, Moffat told the outlet. The other thing is, why did he agree to do it? Rumours had Hugh Grant scheduled to play Andrew, but that's news to you. And there you have it. If you'd like to email us, our address is thepalaceintrigue@gmail.com. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue. Good times.